March 17th, 2023. Halfcast 419, episode 419. Let's go. Of course, I have a few things to share with you guys. An evening of reflection. Shall we? A 25-year-old Stanford University employee allegedly lied about being sexually assaulted by a black man twice on campus, prompting an unnecessary public safety alert. Anyone who falsely accuses someone of rape or sexual assault should get prison time and a penalty should be stiff. People lose their livelihoods. People get killed over these type of allegations. You just had the three guys from the UK that attempted suicide after being accused of rape, trafficking, and abuse. You become the object of public scrutiny. And even if you're found not guilty in most cases, there's still a black cloud hanging over your head just from having your name associated with these type of dealings. A Stanford University employee was arrested Wednesday for allegedly lying under oath about being sexually assaulted twice by a black man on campus who matched the description of a coworker, authorities said. Right off the bat, as a black man, whenever I hear the term match the description or fit the description, I'm always a little apprehensive. Jennifer Ann Grise, 25, is charged with two felony counts of perjury and two misdemeanor counts of making a false crime report. There's something to that, and I'll tell you in a second. After prosecutors said she made false reports at hospitals, applied for victims' compensation money, and prompted a public safety alert on campus. How is she only facing misdemeanor charges for falsely reporting a crime that has felony implications? If this guy would have got jammed up, he wouldn't have been facing misdemeanor charges. This is sounding like a slap on the wrist to me. What do you think? This is a rare, not rare enough, and deeply destructive crime, Santa Clara County District Attorney Jeff Rosen said in a statement. Our hearts go out to the falsely accused. Our hearts go out to students who had to look over their shoulders on their way to class. Our hearts go out to legitimate sexual assault victims who wonder if they will be believed. Rape and sexual assault will always be taken seriously, as it rightfully should. Victims should not be afraid to come forward for fear of not being believed. Yet these are still life-altering allegations. We should always leave some room for reasonable doubt. According to the district attorney's office, Grise first reported an allegedly false sexual assault on August 9, 2022, when she told forensic nurses at Valley Medical Center in San Jose that she was attacked in the restroom of a campus garage. She described the suspect as a black man in his late 20s. Grise reported being sexually assaulted again 2 months later on October 7th. She told forensic nurses at Stanford Hospital that she was grabbed by her arm and dragged to the basement into a storage closet where she was assaulted. She again described being attacked by a black man in his late 20s who was 6 feet tall and slender. How many 6 foot slender black men do you think is on that campus? I'm thinking there's a lot. That's a very general description to have people looking at these guys while they're just trying to go to school like they could potentially be the rapist. Rice claimed she became pregnant with twins from the alleged assault but had a miscarriage. Prosecutors said that after both reports, sexual assault examination kits were rushed for priority testing to protect the public from a potential sex offender. But for when, and these are resources, valuable resources that are being squandered because of this. But forensic examinations found the tests were not consistent with what she told nurses had happened and that she was not pregnant, prosecutors said. So not for a second did she think that once these test results come out, everyone's going to know that I'm a liar. Her reports also prompted campus police to issue an alert, resulting in local news coverage and many students saying they felt unsafe. Stanford's Department of Public Safety continued to investigate the sexual assaults and found that Grise had made a sexual harassment complaint against a co-worker. Prosecutors said the man's appearance fit the description of her alleged attacker. And you can imagine that with the mounting pressure on law enforcement to bring this attacker to justice, they probably thought they had their guy with that co-worker. Turns out she just didn't like him. She had an axe to grind. Oh, for all that, they should revisit that sexual harassment claim and take a closer look. In January, Grise allegedly admitted to a district attorney's office investigator that she had lied about being sexually assaulted and wrote an apology letter to her coworker. You write someone an apology letter when you eat their food out of the break room fridge. This man could have went to prison and had to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life. And that's all he gets is an apology letter? In a statement, Stanford leaders said they will be reviewing Gry's employment. She should be done. She had the whole campus living in fear unnecessarily, and she has been placed on a leave of absence. According to LinkedIn, she is a supervisor in a university's housing service center. According to the National Registry of Exonerations, black people are almost 8 times more likely than white people to be falsely convicted of sexual assault. Me personally, I think had there not been that definitive medical evidence that goes against everything she claimed, she would have held her end of the story and this guy would have ended up going to jail and that statistic would have rang true one more time. Next up, Massachusetts man plotted $10,000 murder for hire scheme to kill his wife, prosecutors say. Damn, let you tell it, you was head over heels in love. What happened? How do you tell someone to kill your wife with the very same mouth you once used to consummate your marriage? A Massachusetts husband, and this is like the second story I got where a husband in Massachusetts was trying to get his wife clipped, who complained, is that a thing up there? Who complained about his wife seeking a restraining order against him, has admitted to trying to hire a contract killer to murder her, federal prosecutors say. How bad could you possibly botch a marriage that your wife doesn't even want you around to try to fix things? Just go away. You would think that would have been the dead end, but oh no, his drive down the road to failure goes on for miles and miles after this. Massimo Moringe, 56, of Malden, that's a lot of M's, and unfortunately for him, not one of those M's are marriage, now faces up to a decade in prison after pleading guilty to one count of murder for hire, according to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Massachusetts. In charging documents released by prosecutors, Moringe met with an undercover FBI agent posing as a contract killer in Portsmouth, New Hampshire in January 2021 and described a situation he needs taken care of, wink, wink, that is, his soon-to-be ex-wife. I tell you all the time, there's no such thing as hitmen. Either they're con men that's going to laugh at you, then they're going to take your money, or they're cops that's going to laugh at you, then take you to jail. Prosecutors say the agent who discussed a price of $10,000 asked, you want to get rid of her? To which Moringe responded, yeah, I need to eliminate that problem. Such a dweeb. I mean, we can make it look like an accident. It is your call. The agent reportedly continued, just reeling his goofy ass in. Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, that's the best way, Moringe reported, according to the documents. So he just very conveniently happened to find a hitman on Angie's List or Indeed.com or wherever these dorks go to look for their hitman. And he's talking to him like he's perfectly comfortable with telling someone he wants to get his wife killed. The attorney's office said it started investigating the case on New Year's Day 2021 when an individual reported to law enforcement that Moringe had complained about his wife seeking a restraining order against him and that Moringe asked the individual for assistance in killing his wife. At the direction of federal agents, the individual introduced Moringe to an undercover agent who posed as a contract killer, the office said in a statement, adding that Moringe provided the undercover agent with a photograph of his wife's residence and explained how to evade detection by cameras while approaching the residence. See, this is why she don't want to be around you in the first place. You blow everything out of proportion. You're supposed to take that time alone, do a little bit of self-reflecting, come back and fix your marriage. But no, you want to jump to the final scene and roll the credits. On January 29th, 2021, Moringe again met with the undercover agent and discussed moving forward with the killing of his wife. He could have backed out of this. He had a chance to back out of this, and he would have been okay today. Moringe provided $1,500 cash as a deposit for the murder and explained that the sooner the demolition job takes place, the sooner he will be able to pay the balance owed, the attorney's office also said. He really called it a demolition job, like he was trying to be discreet. Anytime you tell a complete total stranger that you want him to kill your wife for you, you throw discretion out the window, buddy. He also provided the undercover agent with a photograph of his wife, the color, model, and license plate number of her car. Ambitious. If only he would have put that much effort into his marriage. The hours of operation of her place of business and a schedule indicating when he would have custody of his children, which he said would be the best time for the construction work to start. It added, Marenge is set to be sentenced on June 8th. You see how that played out? How he could have just did his restraining order on the streets? Now he's going to be doing demolition time on a different construction site. Fun show. Fun show. Fun show. That being said, I'm going to wrap this one up, but I'll be sure to talk to you guys very, very soon. Adios.